What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Impel Forward Podcast.
Yes.
Tell them who you are. Renee.
So what I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest. She is a lovely, beautiful woman. She is a businesswoman, first and foremost. Not only is she a businesswoman, she's an author, she's a coach, she's a mentor, branch manager, community server, the list goes on. Her name is Diane Selby, and she is amazing, you guys. So I welcome her. We're going to, you know, chip away at her. She also is an author, and she has a lot of spicy topics on Facebook. You know, Atlanta, I asked her, I said, hey, you know, I do our same questions. Are there anything that's off limits? You know, we like to ask that, right? So we respect our guest. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, you know. Nothing's off limits. I said, okay.
Good. Okay.
But right. I told her, you know, we are a podcast. We respect people's boundaries, you know, so we can definitely take a pulse on that. But absolutely, she said nothing's off limits. So I can't wait for her to go ahead and get logged on. I have a lot to ask her about. We want to make sure that we are fulfilling our community with all of the info that we can as we help them out with some of our small business people, some of our banking people. We want to make sure that we're touching everybody in the community and get her ready.
Mm-hmm. That should be pretty good. Should be pretty good. How was your week?
My week was, it started off a little bit rough. That time change. Listen.
Oh, yeah.
It's been affecting me. My Aquarius has been Aquariusing all week. I think I had an attitude. And I don't even know why. That's the crazy part. I wake up with attitude.
I've been going late myself. Well, I think she's ready to come on, so we go bring her on in. Is it? Let me see.
She's ready. Come on. There she is.
What's up?
Hey, y'all. How are y'all doing?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm so sorry. I just got off of a community advocacy call, so that's why I was running a little bit late. So thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have you on the show.
Yes, we look forward. You know, we talked yesterday. I was telling Leon, you know, I asked the questions. I'm like, are there anything off limits that you don't want to discuss?
No, because I'm a life coach. So how can things be off limits? You know, like we take experiences and we help the community with them, or we help other people with them. So it wouldn't make sense for me to say that something is off limits. Now I might, you know, have to think about a different way of how to respond to those questions. But nothing is off limits.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about where you're from.
I am from, I'm actually originally from Clayton. So a lot of people don't know that, but I'm originally from Clayton, and I moved to Raleigh when I was 14 years old. So I consider myself a Raleigh native, even though originally I'm from Clayton. My family, my background, my parents, they're all from New York. So I kind of consider myself a mix between the city and a city girl and the country girl at the same time, if that makes sense.
It does. Wow. New York, huh?
Yeah. Both of my parents are from Brooklyn. So they are from Bed-Stuy and Flatbush.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love New York. All boroughs. You
get to spend time with Danny yourself?
I do. Well, not recently, but as a kid, we would go every year for summer, and we would always take those road trips up north as a family, which was really dope. Those are like my best childhood memories, to be honest, is those road trips to New York. So not recently, but as a child, yes, all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Leon, let me tell you how I met Leon. Funny enough, we met through a mutual friend. We have a mutual friend, Lexi.
A lot of mutual.
Shout out Lexi. She's one of the girls I hang with. You've seen her in pictures. I'm sure you've seen her, right, Leon?
Yeah.
Facebook.
Oh, you said Leon. Okay.
I believe you and I met at Lexi's. Did we meet at first at Lexi's birthday dinner at Stir a couple years back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember we were working out.
Yes. No. Hold on. Did we meet prior to that at Stir and Raleigh? You were there too, right?
No, we met the first time when Alexia had her birthday gathering.
Oh, the workout one.
And the workout, yeah. And we were working out, and then we went to have brunch afterwards.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. And so she told me she, no, I think, and then, you know, my friend Lang, and Lang had asked, do you still, you know, ask a lot of, you know, questions, because she's, you know, she's an author too. So she likes to get opinions and different things from people. And, you know, so she asked a lot of, you know, different questions on her Facebook. So, and I said, and that kind of piqued my interest. I'm like, so what type of questions are you asking on Facebook? Like, what? I'm join and get the tea.
Yeah. And so,
since then, I think we stayed at had brunch for a while and just chit chatting until it was kind of time for you to leave. But it was just like instant. We worked out, went to brunch, and then now we're here.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, the questions are pretty fun. They're fun. I'm a Virgo, you guys. So I don't know if y'all know what that means, but we are always, you know, deeply thinking about things and analyzing things from different angles. We really like to think logically about things, critically about things. So it's just my nature to come up with questions and ways to uncover different perspectives to the conversation. I also learned in life coaching, in my coaching program, that the way to uncover, the deepest way to uncover the details that you're trying to uncover from a conversation is by asking the right question.
Right.
So there's actually a science to asking those questions on Facebook.
So what kind of questions are we asking on Facebook?
Well, most of it is current events.
Okay.
Most of it is current events and hot topics. So, you know, things that are just kind of going on in the social media culture and just getting people's perspectives on it. So it's like if something happened, like the Cat Williams thing or Deion Sanders or Russell Wilson or whatever's popping, I just basically re-ask the public, you know, what do you think about it?
Oh, so no spice, nothing spicy.
Well, yeah, there's some spicy stuff.
she throws it, you know, a little sprinkle here, sprinkle okay. there, you know, she keeps the engagement going on her Facebook, and I appreciate it because I'm always like, I'm scrolling. I'm like, wait a minute. Let me scroll back and see what's going on. Especially if it's if it's a question for the men, then I'm like, hold on, let me see. Cause then that's going to help me like, okay, I see.
Of course you want me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I also ask questions about things that are going on in the community as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm really big on advocating for the community, for Black and Brown people. So just, you know, really also uncovering things about, you know, certain issues or certain topics that may be going on in our community as well. I ask questions about that too.
Yeah, she does. It's a great mix of, I would say, a lot of things, but very important things as well. Speaking of community service and helping our community, you recently got a position at Self-Help Credit Union as a branch manager. Yay! Tell us a little bit about that. Tell the people about that.
Yeah, so this position actually is a godsend, you guys. It really is. I don't think a lot of people probably know, but I've been actually advocating for the community for last 7 years. I advocate for the community with social injustices and racial injustices, things like that. Definitely things dealing with children and education. Definitely the police brutality and the social injustices going on with that. I led a protest. That's also something to
be really.
There is video footage of me leading a protest, which I probably would not do again.
Where was it?
This was downtown Raleigh during the police brutality of George Floyd. Okay. And I boldly led a protest in the middle of downtown Raleigh. So it was really phenomenal. very exhilarating experience. The cadence, the rhythm, just all of that was amazing. But I also had to think about the fact that I'm a mom and, you know, just wasn't really the best safety wise, you know. And my dad was like, you know, there's other ways that you can mobilize and also be, you know, effective in the community with actually without actually being on the front line leading a protest. But
yeah,
so I've done things like that. But I also about 7 years ago started a nonprofit and a business, which is Perfectly Flawed Coaching Services, where I coach personal development and financial literacy because those are really my passions. So with that, you know, I have been banking. I had been in banking for over 20 years, you know, done all this work and had been trying to really give back to the community. So I went off to actually work for a commercial bank for about 12 years. That didn't work out because the culture started changing and being very cutthroat and very aggressive. And, you know, it just wasn't a good fit for me. So I moved on to something else and I opened a community center. And that was like the joy of my life. We had an after school program, summer camp, you know, an event center that we were renting out to the community for workshops and seminars and birthday parties and just anything community related was going really well. And then the pandemic hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, womp, womp, womp. We were, you know, on our peak of really, you know, helping the community and doing great things. And then here comes the pandemic that closed us for 4 months, put me in the hole for like $18,000 and having to figure out how I was going to get out of that hole. So I had to make a, you know, a very logical decision of, do I continue this work and dig myself out of this hole for, you know, a few years, or do I take the L at this point and kind of break even and get out? So I decided to take the L, you know, break even and get out of business. And then I went back into corporate and I ended up actually working for a predatory lender, which was awful because I felt really bad about the decisions I was having to make like every day. But at the same time, I felt like this was something I had to do because I needed to get back in corporate. I needed a job. I needed to take care of my daughter. You know what I mean? So I was like praying. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would say, tell me more about the decisions you had to make that you didn't like.
Yeah, because I felt like, you know, when you're in predatory lending, the interest rates are really high. So they're very abusive to people that don't have the education of how to get out of those practices. Okay. So once you get the loan or once you get the cash advance, you're kind of stuck in that churning process of needing another loan or needing another advance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to meet my goals and I can't help that, you know, I'm a competitor and top performer. So wow. I'm trying to, you know, meet my goals, do the best job that I can. But then at the same time, it's like, this isn't really right, you know, as far as like the way that we're doing this. So, you right. know, just begging and begging, you know, for God to get me out of this situation. And probably about seven months later, I literally saw this like job. I had been applying and I had two other interviews that were really great. But now in hindsight, I know that God was really preparing me because I wasn't quite ready for those roles. Mm-hmm. One position was a director at a credit union, and one of the other positions was a regional at a credit union. And mm-hmm. I haven't really been in that role yet, but I felt like, you know, I could do this because I had leadership roles, I had management roles, and I was a top performer. So I was like, I can do this. But obviously the universe was like, you're not ready quite yet. So I had to kind of do that job that I didn't want to do for a few more months. And then out of the blue, I see this job for self-help credit union. And it literally appeared out of nowhere because I had no idea who this credit union was. I had never heard of it.
Right.
You know, because have you guys heard of self-help credit union?
No, I haven't. I'm ready to hear you talk about it.
Right. Fair. So I had never heard of them, and it was just completely out of the blue. So I'm like online, like, oh my God, this is, you know, sounds like something I could absolutely apply for. So I applied. I hadn't done the research yet, but I applied because I was like, you know, this is definitely within my experience. So I applied, and then I got, you know, an email like a few days later, like, hey, we got your resume. We would love to have a panel interview with you. We want you to at least, you know, do some research on the company, you know, make sure that this is a good fit for you, blah, blah, blah. So I pulled up the website and I looked at this job and I looked at their mission and what they were doing. And I was like, this job is like perfect for me. Like, this is a godsend. So I applied.
What was one of the things that you saw in their mission that kind of intrigued you, or kind of it was that aha moment, like, this is for me? What was
right on their website, and they talk about us and all that. Their mission is right away for economic opportunity for all. Mm-hmm. And then also for people of color and women.
Okay.
So I was like, this is like right in line with everything I already am doing.
Right.
So I applied and did the, you know, the panel interview, and it went really great. Like, I was just like, wow, this was, you know, it just seemed so comfortable. You know what I mean? It just seemed comfortable. It just seemed like, man, this gotta be it. Like, this, yeah. Oh God.
Right.
But actually, the hiring manager made me wait for like a month.
Really?
After that panel interview. Can you imagine waiting for the job that you feel like is the perfect fit for a month?
Yeah. So you applied for the job before you seen what it was about. Is that correct?
Before I looked at the website?
Yeah, you applied for the job.
Oh, yeah, because I could see the job description. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the job description. So I was like, okay, I'm qualified for this role, you know? Okay. So I applied for it.
Oh, you just went off the description. So you were real confident that was something for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because mm-hmm. It was like managerial experience, yeah. Banking experience, leadership, you know, those were the, you know, the experience, the skills that I knew I had.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah. So I applied, and I was trying to get out of there. I was trying to get out of that job. You have no idea. I was begging God, like, get me out of here.
Right.
Right.
So the
job description on the website must have been the cherry on top. Like, okay, I made the right decision, even though I didn't fully vet this company. You know, the job description was, you know, right in my wheelhouse. And then you go to the website, you're like, oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And so after I had the panel interview, I felt that it went well, but I went on and sent my follow-up email, and I was like, this is the job for me. Like, this is a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a perfect fit. This is right in line with, you know, my career goals and what I'm already doing in the community. So give me this job.
Wow.
So yeah, so I ended up getting the job as the branch manager of Self-Help Credit Union in Raleigh. It's a new branch that's opening off of Rockroy Road, right in my community. I've been in this community for 20 years as a homeowner. So it just like literally made sense. And I know that this was like sent from God. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you guys, I don't know, maybe y'all haven't had that situation.
Oh, yeah.
So how long has it been since you joined?
So I've been there almost about 5 months, and I've been filling in the Durham office currently. So I've just been sharing, you know, different celebrations and things that we've had for Black-owned businesses, sharing some of my experiences with workshops that I'm doing already, presentations that I'm doing already. But these, again, were, you know, presentations and workshops that I was already doing in the community. So it was like, it just made sense to continue to share those things because, you know, it's what I had already been doing for like the last few years.
So, you know, working at Self-Help, it seems like, you know, credit union. So I'm sure, you know, it's very, what is it? Community driven or people, it's, you know, owned by the people or.
Right. You know, it's nonprofit.
Nonprofit. So what kind of, what are some of the things that you've noticed, because you've worked in commercial banking, now you're, you know, with the credit union, which is, you know, membership based. What do you see the differences in between the two that you, I guess, that stand out to you?
Yeah. Well, I've also worked for State Employees Credit Union. So I worked for State Employees for like 5 years when I first started. That was actually my first job. Wow. So, yeah. So it was really cool because I've had the credit union experience and I've had the commercial banking experience. Mm-hmm. But credit union, it being nonprofit, you are going to have lower costs. You're going to have lower costs and lower fees. So it's not going to be as, you know, strenuous on the rates and the fees and things like that, because it better benefits the member because it's nonprofit. They don't have to charge, you know, the higher rates and the higher fees to bring in the income, because it actually makes it more affordable for the member.
Wow.
Well, that's the first thing. But then also what's hugely different is that working for a nonprofit, you're not going to make as of higher salary. So I did have to take somewhat of a pay cut from what I was making at working for a commercial bank, because you don't get bonuses and commissions and things like that.
So are you talking about, is that the self-help and the State Employees Credit Union, they based off the same thing?
Well, self-help is community-based.
Okay.
State Employees Credit Union is is a organization for state employees.
Okay. So how do, what kind of funding y'all, how do you help people out if it's what's the word you said? Help me out.
Membership?
Not membership. Nonprofit. Yeah. So they, how are they giving people money? Are they giving people money, loans, stuff like that?
Oh yeah. I mean, both, all institutions have, you know, products. They have products and services. But for example, it's only $5 to open an account with self-help. But the reason why it's so low is because it's nonprofit.
Oh, okay. Wow. What about first-time business owners or, you know, trying to get into the market of, you know, owning, you know, their own business and startups and different things like that? What do you guys at self-help will assist a new person trying to get into entrepreneurship and a business loan, I would say, per se?
Yeah, so a part of our presentation is that we absolutely support businesses, especially Black-owned businesses. But our niche businesses are charter schools, child care centers, food systems, like food-based systems. Like if you're getting ready to open a grocery store, you know, mm-hmm. we support that. If you're opening something that directly supports the community, you know, we really eagerly support that. Those are our niches. Hold on one second. What's up? Some of our other niches. Oh, faith-based organizations, so churches. So if you're directly doing things in the community, then we have untraditional underwriting that basically caters to those types of industries.
Really?
Yeah.
So how long has the whole self-help thing been going? I know you said the one in Raleigh, you've been there 5 months. So how many branches do they have?
Okay, so this is actually a good question, because I actually spent my last 4 months in Durham, because my branch is not open yet. My branch is opening in the end of April, 1st of May. Uh-huh. So I actually spent my training in Durham, which was cool because I don't really even go to Durham that much. Uh-huh. I am heavily active in Raleigh and have done a lot of work in Wake County, but I'm be honest, I really don't be going to Durham County that much. Uh-huh. So it was so interesting learning the history in Durham. The Haytai district and mm-hmm. Black Wall Street, all of that has been super cool to learn the history in Durham and our Black-owned businesses culture in Durham. So I will definitely say that Durham's culture is way more culturally unified in Durham than in my experience, and also in my opinion, than in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. So The history of self-help is actually in Durham. So self-help was actually founded in Durham in 1980. And I don't forget that because that's the year I was born. Mm-hmm. And so y'all do the math. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody in their math, like, I mean, how old is she? And so, yeah, so they were founded with a $77 bake sale in Durham. And it's just an amazing history and amazing story. So they have two branches in Durham, and then we have two branches in Raleigh. But we have branches all over the country. It's not just in, you know, Durham and Raleigh, but we have branches, other branches in North Carolina. We have other branches in other states in the country as well.
So say I have a at-home daycare, right? And I've been, you know, I've been doing it for years. I'm certified. I have all of the things, but I want to branch out and get, you know, possibly a building, you know, actual business to house my daycare, maybe expand and get new teachers and all of the things that comes with it. Is that something, self-help is a bank that I would come in and you guys would walk me through the steps of being able to obtain funding for that and, you know, assist me along the way, the journey?
Yes. Yeah. So that is where our lenders and our real estate, you know, Ventures Fund would come in and really work with you one-on-one on putting that project together.
Oh, wow. Okay. What about, so no hair salons or barbershops or anything of that nature?
Yeah, I have to be really upfront and transparent because I found that, you know, when we say like, oh yeah, you know, we really help these types of businesses or these types of Black-owned projects, I have to be clear about the criteria that it takes to get approved. Mm-hmm. Because I found that a lot of people, you know, get frustrated, especially in the Black community. We get frustrated on not being able to get the funding or the lending, but we don't really have ourselves in a position to be able to get approved or to qualify. And that is because we're not filing our tax returns.
Oh, okay. Explain how important that is, because I don't
think it is super important because you have to prove that you have a 2-year history to be able to be approved. Look at Leon shaking his head. He probably heard that.
Yeah. I don't know if she told you, but I'm a barber.
So, okay. So,
a lot of barbers don't file their stuff or do it right. So, yeah, I know. But go ahead. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So if you have a 2-year history and you can show that you can pay the loan back, mm-hmm. and that, you know, you have a CPA and you can provide your profit and loss statement and your bank statements and things that support being able to pay the loan back, then yeah, we absolutely want to help those businesses. But we find that a lot of times we can't because, you know, we don't have the 2-year history.
Mm-hmm. Or the history doesn't really tell the full story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that that sometimes can be very challenging, you know, within our community and, you know, other communities as well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to taxes, you know, even in my position, you know, I used to ask, okay, tell me really what's happening with your financials, not what I see on your tax record.
Yeah.
Always going to be different, right? That conversation is always different. And so I noticed that, you know, within a lot of smaller businesses, sometimes the taxes doesn't tell the full story. So it's always easier to be upfront and honest with your, you know, your branch manager or your banker or, you know, even your CPA. It's always good to be honest and upfront because that dictates where your career takes off.
Yeah. And in addition to that, don't write everything off. Like you writing everything off, you're not showing us that you're actually bringing in a net income. Like you're not showing us that you're actually bringing in an income. So it's misleading and it's also miseducation to the business owner because they're thinking that the CPA has done a good job because they wrote off their phone expenses or all the mileage or, you know, all the food costs or whatever to you know, make it so that they don't have to pay taxes. But that's actually working against you because now we can't show that you can actually, you know, prove that you actually brought in any income to your business.
Yeah. I try to talk to a lot of new barbers up and coming because for a long time, barbers, well, even to now, they still don't know about the taxes and how it's done. And it just wasn't taught by older barbers.
Right. So that's another piece that we, you know, are aggressive with is financial literacy, because we know that that's really we know that that's the gap to being able to have those opportunities and wealth and, you know, more success with lending and, you know, and grant money and things like that. But, you know, it's really just trying to change some of the myths and change some of the misconceptions that we've learned or the bad habits that we learned, and trying to actually give that financial literacy. That's another piece that we're really heavily focused on. And we do all that for free. And that's another thing that, you know, makes us different than a lot of other financial institutions, because you don't really see them. They ain't teaching y'all. You know what I mean? They're not going out and actually doing workshops at your, you know, staff meetings.
y'all have classes or something, or y'all actually go out in the community and teach it, hold it?
Oh yeah. I mean, and Renee has seen them. Like, I've been sharing them. We have, you know, financial presentations probably, you know, once or twice a day. I had, you know, two today, and workshops, you know, going out during the wintertime. It was cold, y'all. I was out here doing workshops through the winter, going out at like 6:30 in the evening. You know what I mean? So we're really doing those things in the community. And that's what makes us different. And that's what we're aggressively trying to change, because we know that financial literacy is the key to improving our finances within the Black and Brown community.
So if I wanted to get to somebody from the branch to come somewhere and hold something like that in a building somewhere, that's, I can do that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you just let us know. And, okay, you know, me and one of the other managers or me and some of my team members will come out there and do the presentation.
Okay. Yeah.
Amazing. I think that's really helpful, especially for, you know, first time business owners, or they, you know, they want to get into the business but don't really know. I think that's always good to surround yourself with knowledgeable people, especially people who can help you get additional money. That's the cherry on the top of the cake, I would like to say. In addition to, you know, being an amazing advocate for Black and Brown people and helping them with their businesses, our lovely person over here, Miss Deanna, is also a beautiful author.
I'm taking my question. <Go ahead.
laughs> She is a author. She has written books, business for dummies, business for startups. Tell me about that. Tell us about these. What?
Before you answer, so it's two different books, right? Because I was looking it up.
Well, it's actually one book, because I was going to make the correction and I was going to tell the story behind why it shows two different books.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that actually was a self-publishing era, because mm-hmm. I did self-publish, and mm-hmm. the actual launch of the book had the incorrect, you know how you schedule posts?
Mm-hmm.
So I had that post scheduled and it had the incorrect flyer for the announcement for the book, and it had the incorrect cover. So we had to go back into editing and change that, because that was just a promo cover. Like, it was like a draft cover.
Right.
And it got launched incorrectly. And so I was working and didn't even know that it had been launched. I mean, I knew it had been launched, but I didn't know it was the incorrect one. So it's really business for startups.
We really love business for dummies.
Like, yeah, we like that business for dummies. we was going through. We was like, oh shoot, we call. I see two business for dummies and startups.
Right, and I'm like,
business for dummies.
I'm like going through it, and I'm like, I like business for dummies. And so he was like, I do too. You know, and this was Sunday. Like, we started like Sunday and was like reading through it. And
really?
Leon was like, wait, is it two? I was like, I think it's two. But then we were looking at the dates, and I was like, wait a minute, it might be one.
Yeah.
And then one sold out.
Yeah. So that's the challenge with self-publishing. You know, you kind of come across those kind of hiccups sometimes. So yeah, that did happen with this project. But I have two other books. I have Awakening Tiffany, which was my first book. And I highly recommend that book because it's got, you know, some more juicy tea in it than maybe like as, you know, structured and educational as Business for Startups.
What is it called?
Huh?
What is it called, the book?
It's Awakening Tiffany. But so that was that's an inspirational book. And I wrote that book as I was going through some tough times like divorce and some career challenges. Like I was telling you guys, I was, you know, really struggling through being in the wrong role and, you know, having some bad leadership, you know, things like that. So I wrote about that to help, you know, keep people inspired. I wrote about some friendships, you know, getting through some challenging friendships. And so, yeah, so that book is a inspirational book and it's based on some true events. So that one's, you know, a little more personal.
I need to get that one. You touched on a few things that I, you know, not the divorce thing, Leon.
So why Tiffany? Why Awakening Tiffany? Why'd you pick Tiffany?
That's a good question, Leon.
Yeah. The middle name was on.
I picked the name Tiffany because think about it. Everybody knows a Tiffany. You know, yeah. Tiffany is like a name that anybody can kind of relate to. So I wanted the reader to be able to put themselves in, you know, the shoes of the reader and kind of and see if they could relate to her. So that's why I chose the name Tiffany.
Okay. Now back to the business book, Business for Dummies. Why? So
Business for Startups.
Why did you first pick Business for Dummies?
Well, Business for Dummies was just a test. That was like it was like a draft. You know, it was just a draft for like my cover and, you know, just when I was getting started on the book, it was like a format for the graphics design to kind of get an idea of how I wanted my book to be. But when I published it, I published it and scheduled it with the wrong cover.
Okay. Tell us about Business for Startups. What made you kind of write that book? What inspired you?
So what inspired me is that, again, I'm a coach. So I really have been thinking, you know, and observing these last few years of what has been some of the disconnections in our community. And it's education, you know, and it's really learning those basic steps of opening a business and those things that really help you get a good, solid, maybe not have your business be successful, but a good, solid plan to get it started. So I wanted to give, you know, just some additional education and not overwhelm people, but just give them the basics.
Right. I think that's always helpful. Sometimes when it's overwhelming, you lose focus and you lose attention and it causes you, I would say, not only to skip a step, but figure out what's the how can I bypass everything else that I should be doing and just go directly to it, which could lead you down a not so great path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Back to that Perfectly Flawed. How did that name come about?
So you asking some good questions, Leon.
I'm trying to get better at my question. I've been watching Shannon Sharp.
Oh my goodness.
But okay, so Perfectly Flawed, I actually started Perfectly Flawed with a partner. Okay. And so we were brainstorming and we were thinking about like what would be something that people could relate to. So again, you know, I wanted to come from a place of humility and something that people could, because a coach, when you hear a coach, and I got this bad representation for so long that, oh, Dion's perfect. She knows everything. And, you know, you think you know everything because you're a coach. Well, I don't, but I do study. I do research. I do observe. I do analyze. I do deep thinking. So not that I think that I know everything, but I take a lot of information in to try to help others. So I wanted to be able to make it where people felt relatable with the information that I would give them, that they didn't feel like I was an expert, but I was, you know, knowledgeable enough to still help them, and they'd be okay with being vulnerable and showing their flaws.
That's always good, because we need that. We need
So it's just kind of like self-help, you know, like not self-help, but what's it called? I think it's self-help. I can't remember. I'm trying to think of the category for books, but I think it's self-help. But yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, you're looking for some tools and resources to help yourself. And, you know, I've taken kind of the thought process out of it. Like, I'm giving you the information and the tools and the resources that I've studied and that have helped me in some of my own, you know, trials, tribulations, and challenges. And I just want to share them with other people.
That's always good.
You got it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going, how did you become a life coach and why?
Well, you know what? How I became a life coach was actually really interesting, because I have to be honest. I've always been that motivating person. You know, I've been the girlfriend and the friend that's in the corner like, girl, you know you can do that. Girl, you know you cute. You know, and just being real inspiring, because I've also been I would consider myself a top performer, but I would consider myself a top performer because I'm pretty competitive. I compete with myself because, you know, it's just a Virgo thing. Mm-hmm. Come on now, Beyonce, Michael Jackson, you know, as Virgos, that's just kind of in our nature. And we can be a little overwhelming and, you know, overbearing, because we can still be a little perfectionist a little bit, but we kind of do that with ourselves. So I've kind of always been like that as a kid. I played sports as a kid. I grew up with my dad, which also kind of was a gift and a curse because, you know, my dad is pretty competitive. He's also a Virgo. So he kind of, he kind of built me to be this way. And I had a friend that was like, Dion, you're always so motivating and you're so, you know, inspiring, and you're just always like pushing people to, you know, achieve their goals and blah, 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 and being positive. You know that there's a career that you can actually do this, you know, and be a coach and get paid for it. And I was like, really? And I did the research and I found that there were actual programs for coaching and for, you know, because even if you're a life coach, doesn't mean that you actually have to coach life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's like an umbrella. So if you get the certification as the umbrella, you can find your niche within that certification, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take for you to obtain that certification?
It was a 4-day program. All day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was a 4-day program. It was all day. And we did a lot of, I think the first day or two, it was like book knowledge, where we learned how to ask good questions, how to counsel, you know, have the conversation with your client, how to set up your business, you know, with your clients. And then the last 2 days were more practical, role-playing, you know, hands-on type activities.
Oh, wow. So it looks like all of your education and everything that you've been through seems like you created, and probably don't even know it, you created this career path that leads you to where you are today, because all of your skill sets and all of your learnings have brought you to be, you know, a pillar in the community. Mm-hmm. And you know, with your community service, your current job, with helping people, which is a form of coaching people, especially, you know, with businesses and banking, I'm gonna assume in general, you know, teaching people how to be fiscally responsible, it all leads to where you are. So when you said it was meant to be, it was like already there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I want to speak about that spiritually because I'm a big practice, or is that a word? A practice, whatever. Not a practicer. I don't know what the word is. But anyway, I heavily practice manifestation. So I absolutely believe that because I have literally manifested things that I have written on vision boards or down in journals. Because the other book that I have is a journal. It's a healing journal. And so a lot of those things in that journal, I have literally written down that I could go back and show you screenshots and things about, you know, big dreams that just sounded like big dreams, but they may not have manifested the way I actually written them down, mm-hmm. but they manifested in a way that was still what I asked for or what I was, you know what I'm saying? Like what I was wanting or desiring. You know, one of my manifestations was my community center. When I had the community center, I literally posted like what I wanted my community center to look like and all that. And then like a year later, it really came to fruition. It didn't look exactly like that building because the building that I posted was like ridiculously big. Right. I still ended up getting a ridiculously big community center that I did not need, but
you got a community center.
But I got a community center and wow. And I manifested the bank because I literally wrote down that one of my goals is that I wanted a bank for the community center. I mean for the community.
Really?
I really did. And in my brain, I remember telling a few people too, because you know how you're scared to tell people your dream. So I literally told a few people so they know I really did say that. And even though I don't have my own bank, I do though, because I'm a branch manager.
Right. So you have your own bank.
Exactly.
You have goals, you have visions for that bank. And so, yes, it doesn't say Dion, but you know, it's by way of you, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't perform if it wasn't for you. So it's your bank. So
I like the way you're fixing it.
I'm a cheer a person on. So
And then I also manifested the relationship that I'm in right now. Like I had to go through my healing process and I have to mention that because healing is so important. That's another thing that I am a huge advocate for. And, you know, again, practicing within, you know, spirituality is healing, you know, really going through your journey of trials and obstacles and things like that. So getting through the divorce and getting through that and rebirthing, you know, myself and rebuilding myself the last 4 years, you know, I did that through the journal. And I did that with a best friend, which we both created the journal together because we were both going to a divorce. We were both going through a divorce together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like a really interesting story and an interesting time of how those things aligned each other because we really used each other to get through, you know, that divorce. We were actively doing different practices and rituals and things to you know, to shift our energy and to shift our focus on positivity and moving forward and things that we wanted to happen. And I wrote down like literally what I wanted in a man, seriously. Mm-hmm. And I will honestly say that, of course, he's not perfect. And there's some little things that are different, but everything that I literally asked for is him.
So, wow.
Yeah, so
I was going to get into that, but I'll go back to you and your friend, you know, going through a divorce. How did you handle those, I'm going to say those 5 stages of grief, right? Because even though, you know, a divorce, even though it's not death, but it's similar, right? Because you're parting ways with someone that you built a relationship with and, you know, you've been there, they've been there for you. How did you and a friend, you know, handle that or overcome that together? Because everybody's grief looks different.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually a really tough time. You know, I was going through that divorce during the same time that I was closing my community center. So right. It was a tough time of change and just, you know, in your brain, you know, you feel and you think of it as failure, but it's like, it's just a season, you know? Mm-hmm. So You know, I had to really go through like rebuilding my finances during that time, and it was really hard. I had to do some things that, you know, I didn't really want to do as far as like the job that I had to do. I had to do two jobs that I just really did not want to do. And I had to do them to, you know, pay my bills, take care of my daughter, you know, and to just to get through that season. But, you know, both of us was going through the same thing. So we literally used each other for support. You know, it was it just aligned itself where, you know, we would communicate what experiences we were having. And they just seemed so similar and so aligned. Because they're true, it's a true science of, you know, the law of attraction. So, right. You know what I mean? So you really are attracting these things when you're thinking them, talking them, feeling them. So, you know, that's kind of what was going on at that time. So, you know, what better situation than to have like a accountability partner, a buddy, or, you know, a friend to kind of go through those things. So we would just share conversations and then we were literally uplifting each other, you know, mm-hmm. pushing each other, motivating each other, you know, trying to, you know, just stay positive. And after, you know, a few months, we were like, you know what, we need to start documenting this. You know, this can help somebody, you know, at some time. So that's what inspired us to write the journal.
Wow, that's really good. Cause I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be the friend, let's get the bat. We going. We swinging.
Wait a minute. Now we had those moments where we did want to go get the bat and swing.
Mm-hmm. Knocking everybody out. Mama too.
That wouldn't help at all. That would have made matters worse. So you a coach. It says some people say a coach needs a coach. Do you have a coach or a counselor?
I do. I have done therapy myself. I did therapy in my marriage. I did therapy after my marriage. I did therapy through my career. I'm a huge advocate for therapy. So yes, a coach needs a coach. A coach needs a therapist. A therapist needs a therapist. I mean, we all need coaching and we all need therapy. So I absolutely support that. I'm trying to think any other time that, yeah, and even family counseling. We even see a therapist in my current relationship. Like when we have, you know, disagreements and we're just not on the same page and we may need just a, you know, a third party or a perspective, you know, an outside perspective, you know, we're open to that. And I love that about the both of us because, oh, and this is the funny thing. We're both Virgos, which is crazy.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, look, being that you said that, when I was doing my reels, I told her I was doing my reels. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, pick Beyonce and girls, was it Run the World or something?
Mm-hmm.
And you bring up Virgo and Beyonce's a Virgo. I'm like, oh, that's why she probably said
but that. I didn't. I was just, you know, because to be honest, she's, I would say the second woman we've had on the show that's had so, you know, that's very multifaceted, right? Author, right. Coach, mentor, you know, all the things. So I was like, and it's Women's History Month, you know, very fitting. So, but now, you know, again, I guess this is all coming back full circle. We had a Beyonce. Beyonce's a Virgo, and it's all aligning up. And I didn't even think about that because, and it's not like I didn't see your post when it was like Virgo season, my birthday, you know, our birthdays. I saw that, but I didn't think about that. But look at me. But I'm an Aquarius, so we get along with Virgos very well.
We do. Yeah. We do. Mm-hmm. Very compatible.
Mm-hmm. But that is very interesting. You said in your new relationship, you guys seek therapy for, you know, smaller issues. Was he always on board with that? Because a lot of times fairly new relationships, that's a little bit, it's like, whoa, we're new. I don't know if we're there yet to do that. But
yeah, no, we're communicators right away. So he also has been previously married as well. So he had to go through his healing process. And when he went through his healing, he had a therapist. So he was very familiar with therapy and understood, like he understands that sometimes you might need that outside perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and not from your voice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A professional. a professional. Right. So he understood that. And so when we met and we talked about, like, you know, our goals and just our personalities and just how I am, how he is, you know, we started to see how much we shared, you know, how many like core things that we shared. Core values was the biggest lesson learned for me from my marriage and from, you know, previous relationships, is that core values are what is most important, because you need to find someone, or you need to have the right partner that you share a lot of things in common with. And that's mm-hmm. the way you think, the way you operate, the way your behaviors are, you know, your upbringing. You know, our upbringings are not exactly the same, but we have the same core values.
That's amazing. I think that's when we had Pastor Nate here last Friday, and he was, you know, doing the comparison between him and his wife, and they've been married for years. And he was saying, you know, he grew up in this type. I mean, he had, you know, he was talking about, middle class family, you know, mom and dad, same as his wife, but it was just, they just took different paths, right? So he likes Boys in the Hood. She may like a musical of some sort, or never heard of it, but
no, she grew up in a single household.
Oh, she grew up in a single household. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's that. And so, you know, they were able to find their core values, and I think they continue to hone in on that as a, you know, a husband and wife. And that's why they've been together, and they, you know, that longevity that's there. But that's very interesting. You know what? Maybe, you know, when I meet someone, or, you know, some of the people I talk to, I'm going to say, we should go to therapy and mm-hmm. see if they call me back.
Mm-hmm. 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 Try that, because honestly, therapy, it was a deal breaker for me.
Really?
Like, yeah, because in some other relationships I've had, they didn't want to go to therapy. When we started to have differences, they didn't want to go to therapy. They didn't want to talk it out. They didn't feel that the therapist could help them. They were like, oh, the therapist can help you, but mm-hmm. the therapist can't help me. Like, I'm good. So it was a deal breaker for me, because it was like, well, how can you not want to, you know, see something outside of yourself as an alternative or a different mm-hmm. perspective? How can you not see someone else's perspective? Because we're not all the same.
Right.
So that was a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, I think therapy is good starting out in a relationship. Just go ahead and jump right to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We gonna see how they respond to that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, especially when we older, like, do you got time to waste like that?
No. When I tell you, my patience is real quick.
Yeah, your patience. Yeah, real short.
That's so, me.
I got one question about this community scholarship award thing y'all doing. What is that?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So for self-help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, I believe the deadline is coming up soon. I'm not sure what the actual deadline is, but it's on the website. Okay. But this is open to anybody. You do not have to be a member. And there's a $1,000 scholarship available for self-help. So if you apply and get your application in there, you could, you know, be given $1,000.
Okay.
Really? How many winners?
Serious ages, male, female?
No age limit. You just have to be a student. And what was your question, Renee?
How many is it?
Oh, it is one. It is one applicant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, they offer discounts on electric and hybrid vehicles. That's amazing.
That's great that you brought that up. Because that's actually a newer initiative of self-help. That's something that we've actually just launched, like within the last few months, is electric vehicles and also green funding. So what we know, and specifically our mission, is that we're helping Black and Brown people. And we know that in the Black and Brown community, you can't really afford green funding and solar energy and some of these other electric operated vehicles and things like that, because they're expensive. So we offer financing for especially the Black and Brown community to be able to afford those type of resources and opportunities.
That's amazing. I also see, you know, regarding some of your loan rates, you guys go a little bit above and beyond, especially for used cars, because, you know, I think you guys cater to certain communities that may not be able to afford a brand new car. So I really like that, you know, it looks like extension on the amount of months you can take out a loan, which is, you know, usually, you know, especially for the mileage, because it looks like you guys go up to 100,000 miles for a used car. But up to 84 months, that's, you know, that's really, you know, unheard of, especially at this rate, at these rates, because a lot of you're looking at cars of that, you know, to that type of mileage, your interest rates are going to be high, especially now. So
one of the other things that I want to point out is our CD and money market. These are actually my most favorite accounts because they're actually kind of like the hidden gem that a lot of the Black and brown community are not aware of. These are higher yielding savings accounts. So instead of just getting a regular savings account and you're not accruing any interest on it, you're accruing like 0.02% or something like that, especially at a commercial bank. You can put your money, as long as you have $500, into a CD or a money market and earn as high as about 4.6. Let me run that back again. 4.6% on your money on deposit. And in a few, in just a few years, you've earned, you know, an additional $500 or $1,000 on your money.
Wait, so let's go back so we can let our audience member know that, because I, you know, I don't think we talk about that enough, because a lot of times we get so comfortable with keeping our money in, you know, these commercial banking savings accounts, right? Because that's what we've been taught. Save, 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 work, work, work. And then you look at, you know, your money and you're only gaining 10 cents of interest every month, if that, at, you know, on this savings account. So let's talk, explain a little bit more on those high yield savings accounts so people really understand how important it is to let your money grow for you while it's sitting there versus, you know, earning 10 cents.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's also a opportunity, for example, of if you have a younger child or, and you're wanting to put some money away from them, for them for school, you know, college, graduation. Like, for example, I'm using the CD option. My daughter, she's 15 years old, but when she turns 18, I want to turn over a CD to her. It's only $1,500. So it's not a whole lot, but it's still an example of when I turn that over to her at eight, when she turns 18, that $1,500 that I put in that CD at 4.2%, because it's only going to be sitting there for 3 years. The first example I believe I gave was 4 or 5 years, but this one is a 3-year CD. So because she's going to be 18 in 3 years, I'm going to give her that CD, and then it will turn that $1,500 into about $18 or $2,000 when I give her, when she goes to cash out that CD.
That's just really good.
From sitting there, you know, just sitting there. So you earn a higher percentage on your money than just having it in a regular savings account.
Yeah, I'm currently with Ally.
Yeah.
I've been for a while, but I'll be trying to school people on, you know, them banks with them interest rates.
The only thing is that you can't pull the money out. You know, if you try to pull the money out, it's a penalty.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You can pay that penalty, but you want to leave the money in there so that, you know, you can actually get that saving. I mean, you can get that interest earnings. But the other option would be the money market option. You can actually take that money out if you don't want to deal with having a penalty and you feel like you're going to need that money. It's still a higher interest rate because our money market is like 3.28%. So it's still a higher interest rate than what you would get on a savings account, but you'd be able to pull that money out if you need to with no penalty.
I like that. You know, I like to diversify my money. Yeah. So, you know, I definitely will be looking into that.
Come on over.
I'll wait when you open your branch. Hopefully,
yes,
the rates will still be, you know, where they're at. No matter what, I'll probably, you know, I'm I'm a sucker for supporting people, I swear.
Yes, well, thank you. We appreciate that because I'll tell you why it's important. Because one, I want to hit my goal. I want to reach my goal for the year. Secondly,
Go ahead. I was going to ask you what's your goal. Go ahead.
Well, I can't tell you my goal because my leadership probably going to get me.
Okay.
But secondly, because the money that you put in on deposit for self-help goes back into the community. So it's not just, you know, oh, we're trying to get you to open an account, you know, so that we can get richer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I took a pay cut.
Right.
So this is so that we can actually continue to offer and do the work that we do in the community, because not only do we do those workshops and financial literacy that I was talking about, we also have affordable housing units.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a few in Durham, and we have there's a affordable housing unit at the Beacon Point Promise development that is on Rockbury Road, where the branch is going to be.
Really? Let's talk about that a little
bit. It's called Beacon Ridge.
Really? So yeah. How would, if someone needs, you know, affordable housing, how would they be able to go through self-help? Do they have to be a member? Do they kind of, are there different channels that they have to go through? Because I know rent is high for
some people,
you know.
And not even that, it's a crisis right now.
Right.
Like it's a serious crisis. This is also one of those topics that I talk a lot about in the community, because the revitalization and gentrification is happening rampantly in our community with the development. They're, you know, the developers are buying up this land left and right, and they are putting a lot of people out of their homes and pushing a lot of people out. So with that being said, those people that are being pushed out are not going to be able to afford housing. They're not going to be able to afford these new developers that are coming in with these higher, you know, rates for rent. So, you know, it's going to be really important to, you know, have those housing resources and be able to have more affordable housing units.
Wow, that's really, we definitely see it. I'm sure you saw it when you were in Durham.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a lot. And, you know, and it's really sad. But I will say this, I do have a two-sided perspective to it, because this is where my Dr. Umar kicks in. Do y'all follow him?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. You got to watching him on Nick Cannon's.
Yes. So this is where my Dr. Umar kicks in, because we as a Black community could have been revitalizing our own community.
Yes, we can.
We could have. So I have to say that, because I do think that we do have to take some accountability as a Black community, that we could have been putting our resources together. We could have been unifying, and we could have been revitalizing this property ourselves. Because remember, I have lived in this community for 20 years. So I've seen, you know, us not really, you know, be proactive with, you know, helping revitalize and change and develop as we should have been.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it comes from, we talk a lot, but don't have any strategy on how to do it, or just don't know how to do it, where to get started at. You know,
yeah.
I think that's one of the big problems.
Yeah.
I also think it's scarcity. You know, we don't rest easily, right? Mm-hmm. And we grew up with, you know, with that mentality, right? You take care of yourself, you for your family. So we've seen so much where you hear about, you know, mistrust within your family, your friends around you. So, you know, I think we're always scared to put our resources together.
Never.
Because we're always thinking of the, you know, the negative outcome that may happen versus the positive. And I think that's where we go wrong.
Yeah, I agree. And
also, we're just scared of the work, like the thing to get it done. You know.
Yeah.
Because
we have to make some sacrifices. You know, you'd have to sacrifice your time. You'd have to, sacrifice being able to purchase stuff on Shein all the time.
Right.
And travel and, you know, do all the spending and things like that we spend a lot of our, you know, mentality on. So we'd have to change our whole mentality and our whole culture to even, you know, be able to recognize what we would need to do to put our, you know, resources together.
Right. I definitely agree with that. Well, Ms. Dionne, we do have, well, I have one last question for you. And I appreciate all of the gems that you have brought, and we're going to make sure we link self-help down on the bottom so we can help you, you know, reach your goal by any means possible. My girl was recently posted by Miss Tabitha Brown.
Oh yeah. That was so fun. That was
big
so
ponytail.
Fun. You said what?
The big ponytail.
He sure did. He was like,
you know what? That is so funny that you say that, Leon, because my dad was like, oh my God, that's gonna be like 500 pounds that you have to like remove from your head or remove that elephant trunk or something. He said, I don't know what he said, but he was like going in about that hairstyle.
It was beautiful. You looked beautiful.
Thank you so much. It was so
cool. How did you see it?
So I actually was invited to host the red carpet of an African gala because I do things in the community. And a friend of mine who has an African boutique. So if you guys were looking for some African jewelry and pieces that are really cute and phenomenal, check out her boutique. It's called Beyond Yane in Raleigh off of Rock Quarry Road. And she was putting on an African gala. She asked me to host it. And I was like, oh my God, absolutely. Because I had always been wanting to do something African related anyway. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like a goddess. Anyway.
Hello.
So I was like, well, what can I do that's so unique and different? You know, because I'm hosting the red carpet. So I need to, you know, stand mm-hmm. out. So I remembered that Tabitha Brown had this like amazing hairstyle. And so I was like, wow, I'm going to try to see if I can do that. So I reached out to a few hairstylists. I didn't get some responses on the first two that I reached out. And then I reached out to an old hairstylist that used to actually kind of do my hair when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that she was still doing hair because honestly, I really don't get my hair done a lot. Because you see me, Renee, I be wearing the curly, I rock my curly afro and be good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I reached out to her and I said, do you think that this is a hairstyle that you think that you can do? And she said, I got you. And I was like, I sent her the picture. And she said, I'm going to go get the hair and I'm going to, you know, do like the little trial run. And then on the day that I was supposed to get my hair done, she sent me the picture like before I got there. And she had it on a mannequin, like the actual piece.
Yeah.
She had it on the Leon's like, this is this is getting real deep as far as all the details of hair.
How heavy it was.
And it was on the mannequin. And I was like, oh my God, that is perfect. Like she picked the exact color for the hair. She had it like, she downsized it for my head shape and size.
It looked beautiful.
She did a really good job. And so when I was there, I went in and I also did this event because I wanted to, of course, get some exposure for self-help. You know, I'm really strategic about making sure that, you know, when I'm doing these community events now that, you know, I'm also there to have fun and to work, but to, you know, help spread the word for my branch because we're getting ready to open and not many people in this area are aware of self-help. So I'm constantly having to have the conversation, you know, to get the exposure and being strategic on how, you know, to get the word out.
Right.
So I would have my like self-help t-shirt on and everything. And I got there in the salon. She was like, I got you, girl. She put that piece on my hair. Like she slicked all my hair back and did whatever she did. And she put that piece on my head and she turned me around to that mirror. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is perfect. You killed it. Cause it was like
mm-hmm.
perfect.
It was.
It was perfect. It looked exactly like her hairstyle. So I was actually in the salon and I was telling them about how this came about, me using Tabitha Brown's style. And the other girl that was getting her hair done was like, you need to tag her. No lie. This was not even like my idea. This was someone else's idea. And she said, you need to tag her. And when you tag her, you need to put, I did a new thing.
Mm.
I just released a new book.
Right. And
the name of the book is I Did a New Thing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I'll tell y'all that I feel like I should have done differently was hold my book. I was like, dang, why didn't they hold my book?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so I tagged her and I said, I did a new thing. And my hair was like done like her. And then I replicated the picture that she had. She was like a side angle. Mm-hmm. And it was like the whole, you know, side of the side profile of the hair. And I had my gown on and makeup done and all that. And it was like perfect. And then like a few hours later, me and my boyfriend, we were at the furniture store, you know, just doing some shopping, just chilling, hanging out, doing our thing. And I just happened to be scrolling while he's looking at furniture or whatever. And it said, Tabitha Brown shared your post. I was like, oh my gosh, she shared it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably passed out on the couches in the
furniture. Yes, because we were in the car. And we pulled it up and it was on her page. It was like the first thing on her page. And I was like, scroll back up to the top. And then we looked at it and she has 3.2 like million followers.
Right. And you missed that book, that product placement.
Right. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
No, but that's okay because, you know, it was amazing because, and I'll tell you why, because I absolutely love Tabitha Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She is so inspiring. Her story is so inspired. She's from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she's just an amazing woman. Like you can feel her energy, her spirit. You know, she commented on the other post that I did. She commented on it and responded. And it just felt like I felt her energy. That was the first time that I felt like I felt somebody's energy, you know, like mm-hmm. through the phone.
Yeah. But I didn't even know about her until Leon. Leon was cutting my hair. He's like, hey, you follow Tabitha Brown? And I was like, no. And so he showed me her video, you know, because she's vegan, right?
Yeah.
Remember, you were showing me her video and you were like, she's funny. But, you know.
She's inspiring. She, you know, she started by doing just regular videos on her car and, you know, in her house and just showing like her foods and mm-hmm. you know, recipes and stuff. So she's just, her story is inspiring because it really shows doing the work and being consistent. And then she blows up. She's a writer, author, got her own store, got her own hair products. And the way that she shared the post was attaching it with her hair product.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said Donna's recipe did a new thing. And then she, or is out here inspiring people. And she posted me.
See, she knows how to market.
Yeah.
And she's an Aquarius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's an Aquarius. You know, we're both Aquariuses. That's
what we came about. Yes, so she has such a good vibe. So again, you know, there's that, you know, zodiac spiritual connection. Yeah.
There's that.
Well, it was good having you on the show.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes. So where can our viewers find you if they're looking you up? Are they going to selfhelp.com or, you know, imperfectly flawed, you know, at Gmail? Is it at gmail.com?
Yes. Perfectly flawed inquiry at gmail.com.
Imperfectly flawed inquiry at gmail.com.
Yes. So yeah, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Facebook. I'm actually more active on Facebook. That is where I post my engaging and thought-provoking questions. So if you want to follow me there, I am on Instagram, but I'm really actually not right now active on Instagram because I'm so community affiliated. Mm-hmm. So I feel that my platform is a little more effective on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So you can follow me on Facebook. And just my regular name, Dion Selby.
Okay.
Help my girl reach her goal. That's what we want to do. So I pledge to come in next month when you're or the following, whichever. I'm sure you'll post when your branch is open, and I will set up an account. I like my money to grow.
Okay. Okay, great. And so we can help you right away with that CD or that money market or, a mortgage, car loan, whatever it is that you need. Absolutely. Please come and support. And again, I just want to remind everybody that everything that you do deposit goes right into the community.
And that's always amazing.
And I'll be in touch with you for the event we're going to have. We're going to put together.
Okay. Sounds good.
I love that. Impel Forward Times Self-Help. I'm here for it.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And please, if you know any other barbers or, hairstylists that you would like to connect us with, that'd be great as well, because we love like barbershop talks and all of that, because we know that y'all are the go-tos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is I'm going to put something together just for barbers or stylists, and then a separate event for just financial literacy and all that.
Okay. Sounds good.
If we want that, business for startups. We need to educate our community.
Yes.
And I got to change the title. Business for startups.
Yes. Because I'm not trying to get in trouble out here. Okay.
Yeah.
We got you. Well, we appreciate you. Like I said, go and support my girl. We look forward to working with you. I look forward to working with you personally and through Impel Forward. And we appreciate your community service. And keep going, sis. Keep going.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And I'm going to see you soon because we outside.
Yes, we outside. I said it. I want the personal invitations to everything.
She's always outside.
Because Renee is outside. I'm like, how can I be down? I want to be down.
I've been real good this month so far. So, I'm on my best behavior for March. I'm outside in April. I got you.
Okay. I can't wait. I'm excited.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you again. There you go for another episode of the Impel Forward podcast. Like, share, and subscribe.
Absolutely.